Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And we are in the second week of a three-part series on some of my favorite tattoo artists. And, you know, if you've listened to my show or if you know me or you know anything about me, you know that I am a huge lover of everything related to tattoos. I love to meet the artists. I love to talk to them. I like to photograph them. And so today, for part two, we are going to meet Christian Massot. He is an artist and owner of Silk City Tattoos. That is located in Hawthorne, New Jersey. And again, Christian, another artist that I've gotten to see over the years at various conventions. So he is an award-winning artist, like all of the artists in this series. And in addition to being a tattoo artist, he's also a fine art painter. He's a photographer. And very interesting, he started out to become a teacher, but somehow that never happened. So we'll have to find out a little bit more of that. He was recently named in 2015 Artist of the Year by Aquarian Magazine. And he's also been featured as a consultant on Spike TV's Tattoo Rescue with Joey Tattoo. So we have lots to talk about. So Christian, thank you for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Andrea. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I really, you know, we're like a mutual admiration society here on this. You know, it's fun. It is. It's fun. It's always fun to go back and, you know, to see everyone that I know, that I've gotten to know over the years at the tattoo conventions. And I had just decided that I thought it would be fun to do a series on tattoo artists because, you know, I want people to understand that a tattoo artist is a true artist, and there is a lot more to it than just doing a tattoo. And you are a perfect example of that because, you, of course, you're a tattoo artist, but you are also a painter and a photographer. So I'm curious. So have you always been an artistic guy your whole life?
I've always been intrigued by art my whole life. It's always been something that's fascinated me. It's something about the customization of anything. You know, whenever I had a toy as a kid, I wanted to change it and make it my own toy, you know? So it was something that was always with me. I was paint stripes on the side or a lightning bolt or something like that. I've always been fascinated with modification. So my father was a graphic designer, so he would always have art supplies around. Yeah, so he would always have art supplies and really encourage us to play and draw and be creative, you know. So it was something that I was always encouraged in my household, you know, to indulge in the arts.
All right, I like that. And I'll tell you one common theme from all the tattoo artists that I've interviewed over the years, every one of them has been an artist of sorts from a young age. So I like to see that it was encouraged growing up. So what were you drawing as, I mean, obviously you were modifying your toys, but what other kind of things were you drawn to as a kid? Were you doing your photography when you were a kid?
Sure. Photography was always something that I wanted to get into. The thing that attracted me to photography as a child and as an adult even, I've always been drawn to the idea of capturing a memory, you know, because that's all that really art is. You know, art is about capturing a memory, and whether it's our memory and us expressing it to the world, or whether it kind of, when a person views our art, it might conjure up something in them that it makes them remember something about themselves. And that's something that it was always, it's always been kind of like my goal. So I try to remember these things from being a child. And my family was really into nature. My dad's a big nature guy. So in my house, we had a ton of aquariums. And my parents told me this recently, but they used to just put my stroller in front of an aquarium. And just like they said, I would just be there for hours. So it was something that like really kind of captivated me. And so I wanted to have a way to kind of remember those things. And kind of, if you notice, when you remember something, you remember it kind of, you don't remember it as being perfect. You kind of remember it in this very ethereal, fuzzy, dreamy way. And that's where the painting comes in. Photography is great for if you're on a trip and you take a photo and you say, this is where I was. Painting is almost like, this is where I felt, you know, this is the way I felt at that time. So it's almost like you get these, the two things kind of work in conjunction. One is a literal translation and one is kind of more of a imaginative or like figurative capitalization of those feelings, you know? So that's why the painting and the photography kind of go hand in hand for me.
So you really are an all-around artsy kind of a guy on many levels. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. When I look at the world, I just look at it as like these moments, you know, every moment is like I just love being alive, you know? I just love taking in every single day and you know, just kind of like just living everyone to the fullest and just kind of seeing what I can explore that day and what I can create that day.
You know, as a photographer myself, and I always feel that anyone who's an artist has a heightened power of observation, which is kind of what you're describing. Wherever you go, I think very often we notice things that other people don't even take notice of, but that's our powers of observation as an artist.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I feel like when the rest of the people are thinking about what they're going to do next, we as artists, we're like living in that moment, you know. So it's like if we're walking through the park to get to a restaurant, they're like, oh, I can't wait to eat. We're like, wow, look at where we are. You know, we're taking it in. We're looking at the flowers and the trees and the way that the clouds are kind of, the light is cutting through the trees. And we kind of like take that stuff in, you know, and I feel like, I wish that everyone, don't you wish that like everyone kind of looked
yes,
at that stuff,
Christian,
you know?
I do wish everyone, but only an artist. I agree with you. Only a real artist, has that observation. You're right. Let's get to the restaurant. And I'm looking at the flowers. I'm looking at the sky. I'm looking at the colors. So I'm like that too. For some people, they find that could be very annoying. You know, I've had people stop traffic so I could take a picture. And, you know, my friends think, yeah, you know, that's, but sometimes you see something and you have to capture it. You just have to capture it because it'll never happen again. So
those moments of epiphany, right? Those moments that you see that define you you know, it's like when you see those moments, it's like you need to record it because it starts a new chapter of your book, you know, of the book of your life. And if you don't record them, you know, they disappear you might 6 months later something else might spark that feeling again, but you know what? It might not happen, you know? So you might totally miss out on it if you don't record that moment.
I agree. That's right. That's absolutely true. Now, how old were you when you got your first tattoo?
When I got my first tattoo, I was 19 years old, and it was my parents were not too happy about it. You know, they were not.
Yeah.
You know, tattoo. It was not like a thing in my family. I was the first person in my family to ever have a tattoo, so it was not like a thing that they were accustomed to. You know, I was in college at the time. And they were like, oh, you're a college student, you know, what are you doing? You're going to become this tattooed guy. And, you know, it was a little tiny tattoo, but you know how that goes.
Little did they know. Yeah. And what was it? What did you get, the first one?
So you would like this. So my first tattoo was, it's translated to read student or disciple, you know what I mean? So it was like a Japanese writing to read student, because I was on this quest to always learn something, you know? So I said, I know that's one thing that I'll always like that, you know? So I had no problem kind of going forward with that.
Now you were on a quest to become a teacher, but obviously that didn't happen. So what happened?
No problem. So I was at, I did go to Montclair State University to become a teacher. I fulfilled my degrees. I have my degrees to be certified to be a teacher. What happened was I had this crossroads where in my final semester, you know, I was doing all my student teaching. I was doing my observations. I was traveling to these different schools and spending a lot of time with the students. And what I realized was that I loved teaching. I do love I do love, you know, teaching people. It's a passion of mine. I love to kind of convey knowledge to people and see them, you know, get it. But the problem that I had was not so much with the job of teaching, but it was with the system of teaching. A lot of the bureaucracies of the schools and the way that it was being done. And I had this very romantic notion of being a teacher. In other words, I thought it would be like, you know, one day we're going to read this book and we're going to read it outside under a tree and, you know, all the kids will get it. And, you know, I had this like idea that you can do stuff like that. And the thing is that I was watching the red tape go up and all these things that I thought could be done and you can do, you can't do, you know, and it was just kind of a little discouraging to me. And having, you know what it's like, you're an artist yourself, so when you have that passion, you know, and you want to get it out and someone puts a lid on it, you feel like you're going to explode, you know. So you know, I didn't give up on teaching. I did not give up on teaching, but I kind of found a different avenue to teach. So
All right, so from teaching, how did you decide, what was your attraction then, what made you say, I'm going to become a tattoo artist?
Oh, that's really cool. So like we talked about earlier, I was drawing my whole life. When I would have my sketchbook out, a couple of my friends would ask me here and there to draw tattoo designs for them. And I started doing the sketches for them, and they were bringing them to the local tattoo parlors. And eventually the local tattoo parlors were like, hey, can you tell this guy to come in here and meet us? Because he keeps bringing, you know, he keeps doing these drawings. So I had got a really great opportunity to kind of go into a tattoo shop and kind of like meet some great tattoo artists. And they gave me some tips as to how to get involved in the industry. They said, what you should do is do a set of designs, and then you take them from shop to shop and sell them, you know, see what happens. So that's exactly, that's the course of, that's the course of action I took. I started, you know, I took a couple months to do a set of designs, you know, and, with these designs, a friend of mine and I, we went to a tattoo, convention, our first tattoo convention. And we found a little nook in the corner of the convention, and we just laid out the designs and kind of like pirated a little table, a little section, and started selling the designs there. Yeah. So
entrepreneurship. That was good for you.
Yeah, we just kind of, you know, we said, hey, if you know, we got to get in here, and that is actually where I met my first tattoo teacher. He saw my designs and he offered me an apprenticeship on the spot.
And was that Mario?
No, that was actually Joey Tattoo.
Tattoo was your first. Oh my God! Okay.
Yes. So Joey Tattoo was my first.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Tattoo was my first tattoo teacher. Yeah, we had met at a tattoo convention. He said, he's like, you're drawing these designs, I want you to come to my studio, and I want you to be my apprentice. And that was, you know, we set it there. I think that was on a Saturday. Monday I came in and I was apprenticing for him. So that was a really cool opportunity. Yeah, it was really great.
The serendipity, I guess, of meeting Joey at a tattoo convention. That's really
isn't that crazy?
But then, yes, it is crazy. It is. But then, of course, you apprenticed with Mario Barth.
Yes.
Which is another, ultra famous guy.
Yeah, so I was really fortunate. I worked with Joey for a couple of years. And basically what happened was, you know, I have nothing but love for Joey. Joey and I are very close, like very close to this day. But at the time, I was trying to learn as much as I could. And I was at another tattoo convention where I had run into Mario Barth. And Mario on the spot said, hey, if you're interested, like, why don't you come in and work at my studio? And when I went to work for Mario, I thought that I knew everything I needed to know. You know, I was a young guy. I thought I knew how to tattoo. And Mario really was really great in kind of overhauling and teaching me a different side to tattooing, which was really, like, for lack of a better term, he is a very good businessman when it comes to tattooing, you know. And he taught me like a lot about the
business.
Yes, it is a business. And what happens is you get to this point where a lot of tattooers, they get so caught up in the art end of it, in general, are terrible business people.
Yes, I know.
They, yeah. You
right,
know, because artists,
totally right.
artists have this, yeah, it's just, it's the opposite side of the brain. Something where
that's
like,
right.
You know, it's like you have this creativity that you want, it's almost like you want people to like it so bad that you give it away, you know, and you're
yeah.
like, you just want it to be accepted. You want people to tell you you're doing a good job. And, so like you wind up kind of selling yourself short a lot, but Mario was very, very instrumental in kind of saying, hey, this is who you are. This is what your time is worth. That's your product. You know, your product is your imagination. Don't be ashamed to capitalize on it, you know, which is true, right? All we have is our knowledge, you know, that whatever job we go for, we get trained to do specifically that job. When you're an artist, you can't teach art. You know, you can't teach a person to be creative. That's something they're born with. So it's like, it's almost like, it's like a musical talent. If you have a musical prodigy, that is their product, is that music. And, you know, they have to charge for it. You know, people would like to
right.
hear it, but people will,
right.
will pay for it. Yeah. So that was something Mario really taught me. So I got to learn from really two good businessmen in the industry. And, you know, I find myself to be very, very fortunate to have had the
I mean, right
tattoo
out of the
upbringing.
Gate,
yeah.
I mean, you're with two of the most amazing tattoo guys in the industry. That's very impressive. Very impressive.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, because I appreciate that they both are, you know, wildly successful men. And, in fact, let's sticking back with Joey. So, for those who don't know, on Spike TV there is a show called Tattoo Rescue, and you were a mentor. That's Joey Tattoo. Of course,
yeah.
His last name really is not Tattoo. We know that.
Yeah.
But Joey is the host of the show, and I saw that you had the opportunity. He brought you in as a mentor to a tattoo business that was having issues. So that must have been a wild experience for you.
Oh, phenomenal experience. Yeah, it was really great. I was very lucky to be a part of the show. And my job in mentoring was to kind of teach professionalism and actually to really teach the fine art aspect of tattooing. A lot of tattooers are phenomenal tattooers, but when it comes to the fine art end of it, like the painting, or the drawing, or the refinement of a drawing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get it, because a lot of times guys will say, "I'll do this sketch and then I'll just put it on skin and I'll make it work there." You know, and and that's great. But the thing is that we're taking for granted, like we said before, you and I see the world artistically. You know, we're seeing it like in a way where we can imagine parts, you know, that are not there. The average person needs to see a literal
yes.
translation of that tattoo design, what it's going to look like on them. So what happens is, when we do a tattoo stencil is a black and white outline image that
oh.
we put on your skin, and then we kind of trace it, as you know already, just, you know, for the listeners, and then we trace it and we fill in the colors as we go. Now, when we look at that black and white image, we can imagine that blue is going to go here and red's going to go there. But the average person can't imagine it. It's almost like it's like a Rubik's cube, and they, you know, they see all the colors all over the place. They can't picture things being in a certain spot. So when you paint and you do the refinement of a drawing, you can kind of say, well, as you see in this painting that I did here, this is what I'm imagining for your
mm-hmm.
tattoo. So you see the way that this blue fades into teal. That's what I want to do on your tattoo, you know, where this water is. And I think that the painting really helps your tattoo skills overall, and it helps your customers to feel a lot more comfortable with your artistic ability. You know, so I feel like it's kind of like a win-win situation if you paint a little bit as a tattooer. Not that it's a necessity, but it is something that I feel like has been like very, very overlooked in the industry.
Well, it tells me that you know a lot about design and how colors work together and how things don't work together. And you have an aesthetic eye that you're able to put something beautiful together. So I think for a client coming in, you like to see that in the artist, that they actually are capable of producing beautiful art.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the old timers, when the old timers used to do tattoos, they had to paint those designs. So when you see that old Sailor Jerry stuff, these guys were painting the designs at night, and they would paint up their, you know, their sheet of tattoos, and then they would bring it in and say, yeah, you, any one of those I painted. So if you like the way it looks there, that's the way it's going to look when I do it on your skin. Now, what happens is, like, modern tattooers have not had to do that step so much, you know, because what happens is a lot of times people will bring in a Google image and say, I want this as a tattoo. You know, so Google has replaced that that art, that tattoo artist needing to be, needing to kind of do his own grinding, you know, kind of paint work at night. You know, that's been kind of removed over like the last 10 years from the industry. So my goal is to kind of bring it back. You know, I really think that it would, all it does is add to your, it just adds to your repertoire. If you could say, yeah, I painted this. So if you like it, imagine what I can do as a tattoo. Sorry about that, guys. Little motorcycle going by. So that, I feel like that's one of those things that it just adds to you, to your, it adds to your arsenal, you know.
So, Christian, is it your preference when somebody comes to you, rather than bring you a Google image or some little piece of clip art, do you like them to say, you know, this is what I have in mind, and give you license to create something for them?
That is definitely my preference. Google images, the thing about a Google image is it's great for kind of getting the ball rolling. So if you, it's better, like if you show me a Google image, I'd rather have you say, this is something that I don't like at all. So as long as it doesn't look like this, I'm good, you know, because, you know, I want to make sure that when I'm doing a drawing, I'm hitting on as many of the factors that kind of go into what a person is going to like, and avoid 100% of what they don't like. When you're starting a tattoo from scratch, you can say, all right, we can build this tattoo to not have anything that you hate in it. You know, if you are just copying something, they might like 75% of that Google image. You know what I mean? But the 25% that they don't like, they shouldn't have to get. You know, so if they say, this is stuff I don't like, this is stuff I do like, let's make it 100% likable, you know? So I do like to kind of give me a little license. I like a little head start, but if they give me a little license, it definitely helps me to create a better tattoo.
So what are some of the really interesting and huge things that you've created over the years? Because I know you like to work in custom, pieces.
Sure, yeah. Custom pieces are really kind of where I feel.
What are some things that you've done that are unusual?
Things that I've done that are unusual, you said?
Yeah, unusual.
Okay.
Well, that's a relative term. I don't know, maybe,
Yeah, like some of the stuff that's kind of like a little bit different is like there's like a lot of times when you do tattoos that are kind of fusion tattoos, where you're tying in different ideas that don't necessarily go together. That's the kind of stuff that's a little bit kind of weird because we call that sometimes people come in and they say, hey, I want this tattoo to represent my grandmother and my favorite baseball team. And I also want it to represent the fact that I'm a carpenter. And you're like, oh, all right, this is getting weird.
Tattoo,
you know?
Yeah,
and one tattoo, it's like this tattoo is going to look like a garage sale on your arm, you know? So those are the weirder tattoos for me to kind of try to make a cohesive image for. But I've had people just come up with weird ideas for tattoos. I mean, sometimes people will say, hey, this is the tattoo I want. And I got to ask if they're joking or not, you know. People, one time, the weirdest tattoo I've ever done was Marilyn Monroe in the electric chair. That was the weirdest thing I've ever done, for sure. I have no idea what it meant.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to go with
that.
It. Yeah.
Do you ever ask clients, you know, what are you thinking?
Sometimes you got to say, you know, like my thing is now I'm very lucky that I'm in a point in my career now where I could say no, you know, not to ever think that I'm better than the idea, but if it's an idea that I don't think I can in a very artistic and professional manner, you know, maybe I'm not the guy for that one. So sometimes like when someone gets a weird idea for a tattoo, I kind of, I want to find out where they're coming from. I want to make sure it's not something that they're going to want, you know, this week, and then next week they hate it, you know?
Right.
I want to kind of connect with the person, you know? For me, it's about creating art that is going to last forever. It's not about making a quick dollar so that I could, you know, pay my phone bill or something like that. You know, I'm lucky to be in a comfortable position where I can kind of just continue to give people really cool tattoos and not have to, you know, not have to take on work that I don't believe in. Like, I don't believe I could represent properly.
I like that. That's good that you feel that way. Because let's face it, when you get a tattoo, it's not, you know, a henna tattoo. It's something that you're going to have, hopefully, for a very long time. So hopefully you're going to love it 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want it to be hot 1 minute and then it's like, you know, it's like clothes. Do you remember, you know, if you ever think about your eighth grade, graduation picture, your yearbook picture, right? And that's, I don't want to create a tattoo version of that, you know, so
no,
I want to kind of create stuff.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Timeless. Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's how I kind of feel about it. I mean, personally, I like tattoos that have meaning, not just some gratuitous, you know, pirate on your back or something. I like things that mean something. Hey, not that there's anything wrong with a pirate on your back.
Yeah.
But maybe
some people's family were pirates, probably.
Exactly.
We don't want to offend the pirate list.
No, we don't. Never. And, you know, because when I was growing up, I heard that the only people who would have a tattoo would be, well, not exactly a pirate, but like someone in the Navy or a prisoner. And in my, you know, so there, and there was just nothing in between. There was no discussion on that. So, I am neither a pirate or a prisoner. So, anyway.
That was the conception for a long time.
Exactly. So,
right?
You know what? Our time is really going quickly, and I want you to tell me about your Blackbird Gallery and Art Studio, because that is, you know, again, you're a multi-talented, multifaceted artist, and this is yet just another venue for you to display your art. So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I would love to. So remember before I said I didn't give up on teaching? It took me a couple of years to get back to it. So what I did was my wife and I were talking one day, and I said, wouldn't it be really cool to have a place that people can just come and take an art lesson, you know, if they wanted to learn how to paint or draw or take a photography class or just do something creative? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a place that you could kind of go and do that? Because, you know, without enrolling in a school, there was really no way for people to do that, you know? So what we did was we put our heads together and we said, what could we do? This would, you know, it was something we kind of like let it sit like on a burner for a while. And what we did in the meantime was we started to throw a art convention, you know? And I said, let's just see if there's people out there that would want to do this. So we started to throw this art convention called SketchCon. And SketchCon was basically for people who were artists, whether it be professional artists, part-time artists, or just kind of getting in, you know, into it. And it was a place where people can come and they could, you know, they would get a table and they would just sell their merchandise there. Yeah. So they would, it was almost like a farmer's market. We call it like an artist market, you know?
Okay.
So
it was
really cool. You know, very cool creator's market where people were selling paintings and photographs and jewelry and cupcakes and anything creative that as long as they made it themselves, they could sell it at our show. And it went over phenomenal. And we did it year after year. We did it 4 times and it was like, this is great. And then we said,
I have to interrupt you because we have like 40 seconds left. So let me tell everyone to I'm going to put up my blog entry. You'll find lots more information. I'll put a link to the Blackbird Gallery.
Yeah. Well, Blackbird is now where you can come and take classes. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
So long story short, we said, let's get a storefront for this idea. And we created Blackbird Gallery. And Blackbird Gallery is in downtown Jersey City. And it's a place where you can come and take an art lesson. We host art shows and we have photography classes and painting classes and everything. So it's a really cool, it's kind of like the manifestation of the art convention.
All right, I have like 5 seconds left. So, Christian, I want to say thank you for being my guest today. It was my pleasure. And please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Bye, Christian.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, guys. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye.